If you want to open your Bibles, we'll be looking at a passage in Philippians, the second chapter. Before we turn there, I'm going to read a list of things to you, and I want you to think about maybe what this list of things might have in common. What does this list of things have in common? The price of gas. The weather. Traffic, poor customer service, politicians, and waiting in line. Think about what do these things have in common? And they might have more than one thing in common. The thing that I think about is these are things that we hear people complain about. If we're not careful, we might complain about these things. I'm going to guess in the last week you've heard at least one of these things complained about. And this morning I'd like for us to consider what the Bible has to say about the topic of complaining. And specifically, I'd like to really just look at one verse here in Philippians, the second chapter, the 14th verse. I'd just like for us to meditate on this verse. It's a simple verse, but just really let it sink in. This is a reminder that I need from time to time, and perhaps you're like me. Philippians 2 and 14 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Do all things without complaining and disputing. I'd just like for us to think about this verse this morning. And let me read this same passage from a few different translations. That was from the New King James Version. Let me read it from a couple of other versions. English Standard Version says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning." American Standard Version says, "Do all things without murmurings and questionings." Revised Standard Version says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning." 20th Century New Testament says, "In all that you do, avoid murmurings and dissension." Young's Literal Translation, "All things do without murmurings and reasonings." New International Version, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." New Living Translation, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." I hope that helps us just to get this verse into our heads. I suspect most of us have read this before, and it's not a difficult passage to comprehend. Like a lot of the Bible, it's easy to understand, but the difficulty becomes in when we try to apply it. I'll admit, this can be a hard one, and we need reminded of it because we live in a time that this should be easier than ever, but we're just bombarded with people who do complain, and I think it becomes easy to complain. It should be easy. You know, just think about the time we live in compared to the time that Paul was writing. Just think about how you got here this morning. Most of us got here in an automobile. You know, we could travel speeds over 60 miles an hour while sitting down. And not only we sit down and we ride in these, but they're comfortable seats. If yours is like mine, you can adjust it to the centimeter down to the, it's just so comfortable for you. Maybe your car has armrest. With the push of a button, you can get it just the exact right temperature. With the push of a button, you can listen to all kinds of different music of your choice. Probably somebody here has a car that even parks itself. Mine doesn't, but those exist. There's cars that even drive themselves. This is how we got here today. You think about Paul was writing to the Philippians. They mostly rode on an animal or probably walked to their services. Walking's not always bad, but when we let out today, it'll be getting close to 90 degrees and walking might not be so pleasant. We live in a time of luxury. But yet we still find ways to complain, even about this very topic. about the traffic, about how terrible it can be, about the price of fuel. Other drivers, you ever feel tempted to complain about another driver? I'll admit, wasn't too long ago, I was even complaining about how long a red traffic light was. You know, that seems silly, but if you're in a hurry, they just seem to, this one seemed like it was just going on and on and on. We find ways to complain. But Paul wrote to people that had it a lot more difficult than we do, and that was the expectation. He said, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Let's take a closer look at this verse. Again, it's not difficult to understand, but let's look at the category of things that they're not to complain about. What category of things should they not complain about? All things, yeah. Everything, that's the category. Do all things without complaining and disputing. When things are going good, don't complain. When things are going bad, don't complain. When you feel good, when you don't feel good, don't complain. When people are being good to you and when they're not being good to you, don't complain. No matter what the circumstances, in all things, don't complain. Let's continue on here in verse 15. This gives some more context. It says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This gives us one reason why we ought not to complain. It says, so that you may become blameless and harmless. If you cannot complain, you're well on your way to purity. This talks about maybe how challenging this can be. It says, don't complain that you may become blameless and harmless. You're well on your way to a pure life if you can live without complaining. And it mentions something here. It says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And it says, you will shine as a light in the world. You will stand out if you can not complain. We're in the midst of a crooked, just like they were at this time, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. A lot of complaining going on around us. If you cannot complain, people will notice. You'll shine as a light. There really are just so few people who don't complain. You know, you don't have to stand on a crowded street corner with a megaphone to let your light shine. That is one way you could do it. But this passage says, well, there's other ways. And one other way is just don't complain. That's a way people will notice if you don't do this. It seems simple, but it says you'll shine as a light in the world in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation if you can be pure and just not complain. Do all things without complaining and disputing. So I'd like to really just to spend a few moments talking about, well, how do we do this? It's good for me to remind myself that I shouldn't complain and to think about, well, how do I go about doing that? And the Lord is so good to us in this. He gives us, not only does He tell us, hey, this is the best way to live, not complaining, but He shows us ways to not complain. I'd like to just spend a few minutes thinking about some of the ways He tells us that help us to not complain. The first one's in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And the Bible's full of ways that help us to understand how not to complain. Matthew 18 and 15. This is one way to be better at not complaining. Matthew 18, 15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you. So this is something that might cause us to complain. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. This gives a really, and this principle we find throughout the Bible, if there's a problem, rather than complaining about it, do something about it. That's the principle here. This is a scenario where you might be tempted to complain if somebody does something to offend you. You've probably seen this happen before. Somebody offends somebody, and then instead of talking to the person about it, they want to tell somebody else about it. They'll say, "Can you believe what this guy did? Let me tell you about this person." And they'll grumble about it. The Bible says, well, rather than complaining about it, just go do something about it. Go talk to the person that's offended you. Then you'll have a resolution. And it's not just when somebody offends us, but anything that we might be tempted to complain about. Think about, well, what can I do about it? Complaining certainly won't fix it. Maybe there's something I can do to change it. You know, we had a frightening incident at our house just a couple months ago. I was cutting up some food with a really sharp knife. And when I was done with it, I put the knife just on the counter, a little too close to the edge. And while I wasn't paying attention, our 18-month-old had grabbed the knife. And the next thing I know, I looked up, he was standing in the middle of the kitchen wielding a knife. And that's one of those situations everybody kind of freezes because you're trying to think, well, what do we do here? You know, if you shout, no, you know, that might scare him. And who knows what will happen. Or our 18-month-old, if you go after him quickly, he thinks it's a game and he'll take off running. And so we all kind of, we froze. And there was, I think everybody was thinking through the options of what we ought to do. And luckily, my sister-in-law was there, and again, she had a lot of options. One thing she could have done is she could have complained. She could have said, "Dane, I can't believe you left that knife on the counter. What a dumb thing to do." She could have done that, or she could have complained to somebody else. She could have said, "Hey, Samantha, look what Dane did," or she could have texted somebody, "You'll never believe what happened over here." I think we all realize, well, that wouldn't have helped, right? That's not going to help the situation. Luckily, she just very calmly took a couple steps toward him and said, "Can I have the knife?" And reached out and got it, and she got it back. She did something about it. Complaining was not going to help in that situation. And so, and that's true in almost any situation. Have you ever seen a situation get better because somebody complained about it? Almost never. And so that's a biblical principle, very simple. If something's not going well, rather than complaining, do something about it. Here's another biblical principle, 1 Peter 5 and 7, when we're tempted to complain. You know, there are some times where maybe there's nothing you can do about a situation, and then it does get even more tempting to complain about it. And I realize some of us are what they call external processors. When there's a problem, we like to talk about it. Some of us are. Not everybody's that way. But some people like to talk about if something's on their mind and talk through it. And if we're not careful, talking about it turns into complaining about it. But I think this passage helps us with that this situation. 1 Peter 5 and 7, I'll back up to verse 6. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." If you feel the need to talk about something or complain about it, let's start with the Lord. Let's talk to him about it. You know, like we talked about in class this morning, he knows if something's troubling you or if you're disgruntled about something. But we might as well talk to him about it, especially if you feel the need to talk to somebody about it. Rather than complaining, pray about it. Whether it's a major problem or just a minor inconvenience, pray about it. If it's not worth praying about, then it's certainly not worth complaining about. You know, perhaps you're familiar with the words of this song. It's in the red songbooks, or the maroon ones, as Paul mentioned this morning. It's from the song, "Did You Think to Pray?" It says, "When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was full of sorrows, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So, when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. So, when we feel like complaining, I think the words of this song are good. Don't forget to pray. Okay, so we can do something about it. We feel like complaining. We can pray about it. What else can we do? Well, I think it might help to consider the cost of complaining. Have you ever stopped to consider the cost of complaining? It comes at a cost. It doesn't come with benefits. It comes at a cost. You know, one passage we can look at is Numbers 11. That helps us to consider the cost of complaining. Numbers 11, if you want to turn over there. It says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Complaining came at a very high cost for these people. It cost them their life. And the cost is similar to us today. Complaining can cost you your soul. It's a sin to complain. This is talking about the children of Israel. And we have all documented throughout the New Testament, they were good at complaining. And it continued to cost them. It continued to cost them. And you can look at their situation and think about, you know, they'd been delivered from Egypt. God had performed miracles. They crossed the Red Sea. They'd seen the 10 plagues. They'd seen the wonder of God. He'd delivered them from sin. And you'd think, well, what did they have to complain about? If you think about it long enough, you start to think about the parallels to our life. And we're pretty similar in that. A lot of the scenarios, very similar. We've been delivered from sin. The worst is behind us. The promised land is within our grasp. We're right there. We're ready to cross the Jordan. This is part of what kept the children of Israel. You know, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. The reason was lack of faith and complaining. That's why they had to wander for 40 years, and anybody over the age of 40 didn't get to enter the promised land, with the exception of two people. Complaining comes at a high cost. Not only does complaining cost us, not only is it sin, but complaining costs us time. When you stop to complain, it's the biggest time waster there is. You don't get that time back. Complaining can cost you friends. Nobody ever said, oh, I love to be around that person. They're such a good complainer. That's not something we look for in our friends. It hurts our witness to Christ when people see us complaining and they know that we're a Christian. It casts doubt into whether or not the Lord has a solution for their problems. Complaining lowers our mood and energy. Complaining is contagious. You ever notice that? One person complains and then it kind of snowballs. There's a lot of cost to complaining and almost no benefit. It's one of the more harmful things we can do. And I think this is why the Lord instructs us not to do it. It's not good for us. It comes at a high cost. So that's, again, when we think about complaining or we're tempted to, consider the cost of complaining. Let's look at one final passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. And this, again, will help us with this idea of how do we not complain? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you ever wonder what God's will is for your life, this is a question that people sometimes ask. What's God's will for my life? Well, here it is. In everything, give thanks. That's God's will for your life. And I think this is the answer to keep us from complaining as well. To be thankful. Be grateful. When we're doing that, it resets our mind and helps us to not complain. To be thankful for things. I think that is the antidote for complaining. And this, again, uses that word, just like we're not to complain about anything. This says to be thankful in everything. And now that can be a hard thing, can't it? How do we be thankful in everything? When bad things happen, how do we be thankful for that? Well, it is possible. Perhaps you've heard the story of Matthew Arnold when he was robbed. If there's ever a time to complain, it's when you're robbed. I don't know. Has anybody here ever been robbed before? Yeah. It's probably one of the more unpleasant things in life. I've never been robbed. I've been burglarized. My brother-in-law told me once, he's a police officer. There is a difference between being burglarized and robbed, apparently. But it's not a pleasant thing to be robbed. But there was a man named Matthew Arnold. When he was robbed, he was thankful in that situation. Here's what he had to say. He found four things to be thankful for. He was thankful that he'd never been robbed before. He was thankful that even though his wallet had been taken, his life had not been taken. And he was thankful that even though he was robbed, it was not much. And he was thankful that it was he who was robbed rather than the one who did the robbing. He found a way to be thankful even in a bad situation. Rather than complaining, he was thankful. And I think this is the antidote for complaining, to be thankful. Be grateful. As we close this morning, let's just turn back to the verse we started, Philippians, the second chapter. And I think this, I'll give you one last way to maybe, if this is something that's a challenge for you, which I think it can be for a lot of us, this idea of complaining. One final thing that might help is just to memorize this passage here. It's a short passage, just 8 words. So if this is a challenge for you, I think this is something that might help. Philippians 2 and 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. 8 words. Or if you're reading from a different translation, it might be less than that. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Perhaps memorizing that verse might help you. So just to recap, some things that might help us with this pandemic. You know, we've been in a pandemic the last couple of years, but there's a different pandemic that starts with C and is 11 letters. Other than the coronavirus, it's complaining. This is another pandemic we're in, and so we've got to think about how are we going to survive this. Just to recap, here's some things that might help. Rather than complaining, do something about it, like Matthew 18:15 says. Rather than complaining, pray about it. Consider the cost of complaining. Show appreciation and gratitude. And then finally, consider this verse here. Memorize this verse in Philippians 2 and 14. Do all things without complaining. As you continue to fight the good fight, I hope this was helpful. I hope it was helpful and encouraging to you. I think this is a challenge. It's been a challenge throughout history. It's no different today for us as we live among a wicked generation. Just like the children of Israel were tempted to complain, we are today. So I hope this was encouraging. I'd encourage you to continue to fight the good fight. Take a hold of that crown of righteousness. We'll offer the invitation. If there's anyone here that sees the need for the Lord in your life, if you want to confess the Lord as your Savior, repent of your sins, be baptized for the remission of them, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the final song.